The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Welcome back. Another 21 hours has come and gone. We have a very good program tonight for you, as we always try to assemble. And Clark McClellan will start things off tonight. For those of you who have been listening for some time, Clark has a fascinating background. He has served this country as a patriot, as a scientist with the Space Shuttle program. His book and website are called The Stargate Chronicles. It has to do with astronauts seeing things, having experiences that they don't normally talk about. Clark, with his background working in the shuttle program at a very high level, got to know these people and heard things and saw things and experienced things by talking and interacting with staff and astronauts and other scientists, that he has decided to put them in a book. The book was first published in 2012, October 18th in English. It's a remarkable story. It's available at lulu.com. If you click on Clark's website, you can go right there and pick it up. He's been on the program several times in the past. Let's find out. Are you there now, Clark?
I'm here.
Welcome.
Thank you, too, and let's get going. I've got a lot to talk about.
All right. There is, of course, a great number of UFO videos on YouTube that were taken in and around the space station, around shuttle missions and so forth. Most people try to dismiss them as ice crystals and so forth, but when you simply watch them and study them, it's obvious that there's something going on there. All right, let's hitch up the team and move them out. Clark, go right ahead.
Okay, I'm going to come on tonight with the fifth moon mission that landed on the moon. Well,
okay.
The fifth moon mission, but the fourth that landed there, 13, of course, went out around and came back, and I call that our most successful Apollo mission to the moon because we saved three lives.
Right.
And this is about my friend, NASA astronaut and first NASCAR lunar rover car driver on the moon.
Okay.
He saw UFOs above the moon, and he saw crystal buildings. So we can get to that. Now
that's an obvious story that I've heard about, we've talked about in the past, and there have been representations of this story on the internet. But I can't wait to hear what you have to say about it. But go right ahead with this. This is very good.
He flew on Apollo 15 with Dave Scott and Al Warden. It was James Irwin, my friend from Pittsburgh. We were both born in the same city.
Uh-huh.
And he flew there. And let me say what we can get to now. He formed, when he came back, the High Flight Foundation in Colorado Springs. And then I met him again at the Philadelphia airport by sheer accident, Jeff. I mean, thousands of people, and I see his face, he sees mine, and we waved, and we sat down for a discussion.
Uh-huh.
What he told me at that discussion for 40 or so minutes is astounding, because he left the Temple University lecture. I was going in for a lecture at Temple myself that evening. So,
oh, too funny.
Yeah.
Well, coincidences, you know, they happen, but then sometimes there are other things at work, so that must have been amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, James Irwin.
right.
James Irwin. Not the most famous name amongst astronauts, but a name that is certainly right in the midst of it all. Pittsburgh. He knew you when you sat down with him at the airport?
I didn't meet him in Pittsburgh. I met him at Kennedy Space Center when we were working on the Apollo 10 preparation for that mission, the first to go out around the moon in 1968, I believe it was.
Right.
And my mind's getting a little bit... I'm 77 now, so I had to recall a hell of a lot of stuff here.
Well, you sound terrific, and as always. Yeah. Now, let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
When you sat down with Jim, did he have any reservations? Was he concerned about talking to you about these things at all?
Well, he said, Clark, I know what you want to talk about, your favorite subject, UFOs. And we both smiled. I said, yes. He said, Clark, I can say certain things, but there are things I cannot because we were all hushed up about our mission by NASA and the DOD to shut up and not talk about things or lose their retirement, or maybe worse. You know, I lost my retirement. I have nothing but Social Security to live on. And I'll be honestly frank about people who are listening. You cannot live on Social Security. And I tried. And I'm trying to help my daughter who's out of work.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the bad news. If people out there can help me by opening and reading my books on www.stargate-chronicles.com, I would appreciate that very much. My health is very bad now. I don't know how long I'm going to be around. I've got about, I'd say, maybe about 38 more chapters that I could release. I don't know if I'll live that long, though.
Well, you better. No checking out early, Clark. You got work to do.
I know that.
We've been friends a long time, and you have my highest admiration and esteem, so let's get this stuff out there.
I have a health problem with my left leg from sugar now, and the pain from the wounds I have are so excruciating, I can't sleep at night. They're that bad. I'm not lying, please.
No, Clark, for those of you listening, I've known Clark for a long time. He does not exaggerate. And
no, I don't.
No.
Anyway, what you got a question for?
Well, go ahead and tell us James Irwin sat down with you and he asked you, obvious question, what do you want to talk about? I think I know.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the conversation. How did it proceed?
Well, he said, I'll talk about some things, Clark, but there are some I cannot. And I said, I understand, Jim.
And what year was this again, Clark, approximately?
His flight was in 1971.
All right.
And they landed at the Apennine area of the moon, and it's mountainous.
And you're meeting with him?
I was meeting with him at an airport luncheon.
What year?
1979.
Okay.
He did his lecture at Temple, and I did one that year there.
Okay. Eight years difference from the time it happened.
Yeah.
Now, was he afraid? Was he simply under national security and NASA stricture?
Well, he had already retired, Jeff, and he had fears. He had fears because there were threats of discontinuing their health benefits, their retirement, like happened to me.
Same thing.
He said, I can't chance that, Clark, with my family. And I said, I understand that, Jim. I said, I will never say a thing about this unless you or I die. Of course, if I died, I couldn't say anything.
That would be a tough trick.
He knew what I meant.
Yeah. Okay.
But anyway, he knew I was NICAP director at the Kennedy Space Center, National Investigation Committee on Aerial Phenomena. And he said, okay, UFOs, Clark. I said, what do you want to know? He said, what do you want to know, my good friend? So I asked him, I heard an up and down link from commentary while the launch control center at the launch control center at Kennedy Space Center pad 39, and David Scott or somebody was indicating that they were seeing unknown objects overhead. And Jim said that's true. He verified that. He said that the and the unknown objects were very swift and they were very tiny. I said, tiny? He said, yeah, maybe about a foot or two long. I said, my God, that sounds like Gulliver's Travels. He said, well, God makes creatures in every way, and shape and form. And I said, amen.
Wow. Well, now, Jim Irwin, for those of you who don't know, did pass in 1991.
Yeah, he passed away.
He was a very handsome fellow.
Oh, he was.
Looked like a movie star in
yeah.
some ways.
He was a wonderful person and very, very honest.
Yeah. Well, they all are. Most all of them are. There's a YouTube video out there in which somebody approached a number of the astronauts asking them if they would simply swear on the Bible that they, the deal.
Yeah.
And some of them became, none of them would do it. That they didn't see anything up there, they wouldn't make that statement.
Yeah, they backed off because when I asked Jim, do you know of other astronauts who have seen things like this? He said, yes, Clark, but I will not name them. So probably each of the Apollo missions to the moon had sightings of something or another strange, maybe even E.T., Apollo 11.
Well, we've seen that the photo of the large fellow standing in the open bay of the space shuttle.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, that was our last program, I think. That was amazing.
Yeah. Well, I did see that 8 to 9 foot tall creature. I can't say it was an alien. I don't know. Then I saw a craft hovering behind our shuttle. An 8 to 9 foot creature with two small NASA astronauts receiving orders from this giant.
Well, we have a photo of that, too.
Yeah, there's a photo on my website.
Amazing. All right, stand by just a second, Clark. We have to pause. We'll come right back.
Okay.
With the remarkable Clark C. McClelland in just a couple of minutes. Okay, and we're back talking to Clark McClelland, and I urge you to go to his website. Take a look at this remarkable story. You'll hear this story nowhere else. Clark is the only one who has really come forward to tell it like it happened. He was, during his time at KSC, aerospace engineer, space shuttle fleet science officer, NASA. He's a UFO researcher and an author as well. But above that, he's a patriot, and he's not joking about his health. I'm amazed Clark is hanging in there, but he has to. We have no choice. We don't want to lose this guy. All right, my friend, tell us more about the conversation with astronaut James Irwin.
Okay, can you hear me, Jeff?
Not as well as before. You
not
need
as
to come.
Well. Can you hear me now?
Now you're back to where you were.
Oh, good. I'm sorry. Now, the Apollo 15 mission was flown from 30 July to 3 August 1971, okay?
Mm-hmm.
For people to know. Okay, we both worked on Apollo 10 and Apollo 12. That's when I met Jim, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
He retired in 1972 from NASA. Then he went on to his...
He retired right after the mission, pretty much.
Yeah, almost. Yeah. I'll tell you why. You see, they were accused of carrying... posted envelopes of their mission to the moon for a German stamp dealer. Yes, they did do that. So NASA was telling them they would never fly again. In fact, giving them the story that they should retire. And they did.
After all that training and all that heroism.
That's right.
If
NASA
do a little simple human thing, big deal.
NASA was then... Okay, today it's been destroyed by Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Our space program that was leading the world is now open for China and Russia to go to the moon and mine H3, helium-3 there, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be a fuel for the future for advanced rocketry to other planets and other worlds.
Hmm.
And so that's why it's being done that way.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I overheard their comments. And I asked him about a lot of them. So he came up with the fact that the stamp dealer was only a ploy by NASA for the brain dead to hear. I'm sorry, but some people are brain dead. And let them believe it was the postal cachets that caused them to be released from NASA. Jim told me he did not think so. He said it was other events that were far more important.
Mm-hmm.
UFOs over the moon with them,
mm-hmm.
mining ruins of H3 they saw, and they saw crystal structures above the moon.
Wow.
Meaning from the surface above. Mm-hmm. Large, mm-hmm. very high crystal mm-hmm. structures.
These are obviously older, out of commission now.
What?
The crystal structures?
No, they were there. They're not,
okay.
They weren't sure. They didn't go to them, but they did observe them. He photographed them.
Uh-huh.
And when he came back, NASA would not allow him to see his own photographs.
No.
But
no.
He did see one or two of them, and the two that he observed had the crystal structures and the UFOs that he saw above them on the moon. And he said that they were all deleted from the photos he had taken.
Mm-hmm.
They wash out a lot of photos, NASA does.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You heard about that.
Oh, yeah.
So they did it to him, too. He brought me back 3 U.S. flags from the moon.
Geez. How did he feel about the betrayal of the
he
truth?
He didn't like it. He didn't like it. Of course, he couldn't make too much statements. I told mm-hmm. him, Jim, he knew I was honest. I would not do anything to harm him or his family. He called me from Fitzsimmons Hospital in Colorado when he had a heart attack, and I spoke with him, and he said, Clark, I'm sending a letter to SETI to hire you. He wanted me hired by SETI.
I see.
SETI never responded.
Mm-hmm. I don't trust SETI, never have.
No, I don't either now. He brought me back gold capped on foil from the moon, and I sent you a picture of one with a piece of that gold on it.
That's from Jim's mission.
That's from Jim's mission.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm asking people out there if they would like a photo from the moon with him saluting the American flag on the Apollo 15 mission. I'll put a piece of the gold from the gold he brought me back from the moon, 24-carat gold capped on foil.
Wow.
And I'll put a piece of that on the front of the photo, and I'll describe what happened to it on the front, on the back of it, and sign it and swear to it being the truth.
All you got to do is buy a book, and you get that?
Well, that, or no, you could buy that just offhand. I'm
uh-huh.
going to try to drop the price of that to about $100, let's say $110 to mail it. But for $100, some people out there might want to have a piece of gold from the moon from Apollo 15.
That's extraordinary. Now, that gold foil was wrapped around the landing gear,
that was
gear,
wrapped
right?
around the lunar module as it mm-hmm. was sitting on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And before he left, he went over and cut several sheets of it off. And each, about 8x10, he gave me several sheets of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not running out of it, but sooner or later I will. But that's a piece of gold directly from the moon.
That's extraordinary. So the piece of the lander that was left behind is where
yeah.
he got the cuttings from. Okay.
That's right. They left that behind when they lifted off and returned to Earth.
Well, a smart man. Was his heart attack fully natural?
We're not sure. I can't say. I don't know. I couldn't ask his family. I didn't want to hurt their feelings.
I understand.
So anyway, he did that. Now, let me bring up a few things here. He graduated from the U.S. Naval Academy at Annapolis and went into the Air Force.
Mm.
I never agreed with him with that. We both laughed about that because I was U.S. Navy.
mm-hmm.
Anyway, mm-hmm. we had a lot of fun together. And
well, that brings up the bigger... We have to take a break, but that brings up the bigger question that people don't seem to understand the answer to, and that's who's biggest in space, the Air Force or the Navy? And the answer is unquestionably the Navy.
The Navy is and has led it since the early part of our military history when we were beginning to develop rockets and such. The Navy is the Navy. Space is an ocean. It's not a battlefield. It's not the air of a planet. So the Navy does control it. I was in Office of Naval Intelligence. That's why I know what I'm talking about.
Very good. All right. Okay, Mr. C, stand by just a second. Clark
okay.
and I will continue with our fascinating conversation of the truth of the Apollo missions to the moon next. And welcome back, talking with our friend Clark McClelland, aerospace engineer, worked with the NASA Space Shuttle Fleet for years. Because of his activities and honesty, has had all of his benefits taken from him by this government, or what passes for a government. And he is telling his story in the Stargate Chronicles. His website, you click on his name, go right there. It's stargate-chronicles.com. We're talking about astronaut Jim Irwin, what he saw in Apollo Mission 12. Go ahead and tell us more, Clark.
Jim, if they were seeing anything there above the moon.
Yeah.
He said, yes, absolutely. He said, Dave and I observed several small, whitish or metallic objects flying overhead, Clark. I thought maybe they were guardian angels watching over Dave and me. He was very religious. And then he said, he continued, Clark, whatever those things were, they had intelligence performing tight angular dives and port and starboard sweeps above us.
Then back to the H3 mining. This you described, I believe, as being old, possibly abandoned, no longer in use.
What he described as were mining operations. They did see tracks, like a lunar rover track, going into and out of it. He said, our lunar rover, and he knows no USSR rover was anywhere near that area. He observed this. So he said then that he thought it was probably mining for a special
element
there. Thanks for giving me the element there. And he said he thought it was H3. And that shocked me because, to be honestly frank, at that time I wasn't that aware of H3 very much at all.
Nobody is, speak of. Very few people are.
See, it's actually, H3 is actually a very safe fuel for rocketry.
Is it found here, Clark? Excuse me, is it found on terra firma, or is it primarily found off-planet?
We have some H3 on Earth, but very, very small elements of it. Very small. But the moon is completely over. It's all over the surface of the moon. Now, the Apollo sites we landed on, I do believe, were landed on sites where there was H3 found, even though NASA never told you that, you see? So we're there.
NASA doesn't tell us a lot.
No, NASA didn't tell you a hell of a lot because the Challenger was actually, the Challenger exploded because of, what's the word, sabotage.
Interference, shall we say.
Interference or sabotage. And my friend Judy Resnick died. I saw her falling into the Atlantic Ocean. So I've had a lot of life experiences that I would like to have the people share with me.
And it's all in your book? All of it?
No, I have three books. They won't let me publish them. The government shut me down worldwide.
We've got to get these books out.
They shut me down because of what I know. All they have to do now is kill me, and they're working on that with my health.
Are the books written? Are they finished?
I have 12 chapters. I'm working on a very special one right now that will shock you, that has to do with Kecksburg, okay?
All right.
I was at Kecksburg, Jeff.
Oh, unbelievable. Amazing.
I was there with another NASA top director. They sent me because a German scientist said the best man to send with this director is Clark McClellan because of his UFO experiences and everything else. And I went to Kecksburg, not far from where I was born, Pittsburgh, 35, 40 miles. I went there, we landed, and we went about. I did see the object. I'll tell you about that some other time. This is for tonight's Apollo 15, okay?
Amazing.
Yeah, I was there.
How long after the Kecksburg craft landed were you there?
The day it happened, 3 hours later.
Wow, they got you there in a hurry.
Oh, they had a Learjet scheduled for us at the Cape Canaveral skid strip, which is, of course, the landing site.
That was before they put it on the lowboy and hauled it out of there.
I was there. Mm-hmm. I was there, saw it. I saw it where it broke through all the trees. My director, NASA, I will not disclose his name, he saw it. We wrote notes. We wrote a lot of notes. I had a Hasselblad test. I had a Hasselblad camera. I'm sorry, I'm hurting bad right now, so please excuse me.
Right.
I had a Hasselblad camera like they used on Apollo 11 with me, an older model. I took photos of this object. I saw strange writing on it, and I estimated it to be about maybe 10 to 12 feet long, maybe about 6 feet wide in diameter, and I saw it laying there. Then we heard the military crushing through the trees and such with a flatbed truck.
Right.
So we had to leave.
Right. What did the object look like?
Well, it was an acorn shaped object.
Acorn,
and I think it was part of the Gauk project that the Germans were creating in Germany prior to the war ending.
Really?
Oh yeah, I do believe that. I wrote a lot.
Well, you knew German scientists very well.
Oh hell, I knew them all.
That's right. This is amazing. See, Clark is a living piece of history here. Those men were so brilliant what they achieved in Germany, and it's all been covered up because it's the booty of war.
That's right.
Now that Kecksburg craft was tracked over several states.
We have it picked up from NORAD over the Pacific, Jeff.
That's far over Canada. Wow.
It came down over Michigan.
Yeah, I knew about that.
Part of Ohio and dogleg to the east in Pittsburgh area and fell down in Kecksburg, 35 miles to the east of Pittsburgh.
Okay. Was it manned?
That I can't answer.
Oh.
I don't know, but I don't believe so. It was a mission to Venus that they wanted to land there. Now, this craft had capabilities of controlling it in speed, direction, and everything else. We did not have that yet. So when it crashed, we kept it quiet.
Yeah.
And they asked me, what could we do to keep it quiet? I said, well, you can lie again about it being a UFO. That's exactly what they did. They lied about it being a UFO because the people would laugh it off and forget about it. You see?
Unbelievable. I didn't know any of this. I didn't know you were at Kecksburg until just now.
I just now, 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, wrote the chapter on it. I'm doing it now, and I thought I'd mention that to you.
All right. Well, thank you. That's amazing. That remains one of the most...
It was not a UFO. It was a Russian failed mission to Venus.
Okay? A German-inspired, technologically, Russian mission to Venus.
Because Russia picked up as many German scientists as we did after World War II.
Wow. Wow.
Yes. That's what I have.
I'm going to go through this break with you. We're not going to take the break, Clark. I want to get as much information as I can and give you a chance.
Yeah, I want to get back to Apollo 15.
Please. All right, go ahead, please.
And now, okay?
Yeah.
Well, Jim said I can't work with this phone wrapping all around my lap here. I have a very poor situation here.
You sound okay, just so you know.
I asked, did you or Scott photograph them? He hesitated and failed to reply. I said, I understand, Jim. But later he did say they did photograph them. He said that they seemed to have anti-gravity capability, Clark. He said they were not our rocket-type engines of chemical fuels. He smiled and said, are you satisfied, Clark? He looked at his watch because he had to catch a plane out. I asked Jim if they observed any other strange phenomena. He thought and said yes. There was what we called lunar tracks on the surface, as I recall. It was near Elbow Crater on EVA 1. That was their first time they took the lunar rover out.
Okay.
Okay. We did report those tracks to Houston Control.
Mm-hmm.
I asked tracks. He said yes, like a car or lunar rover tracks. Then he stated emphatically, yes, just like vehicle. Vehicle track, which was very strange because we had not been traveling in the lunar rover to that area, and he knew that USSR had not either.
Yes.
There's mining. There's been mining there. Now, what I believe, and I brought it up to him, was are the ETs mining H3 on the moon to power their own craft from star to star, because that's what this type of H3 could do. He said, Clark, I can't answer that directly, but I think you know what I mean.
Yeah. Wow. All right.
He said it looked like it appeared as exploratory mining activity.
Mm-hmm.
So there that was. And I asked him, have other astronauts mentioned they've seen things on the moon and other strange things? He said, absolutely so, Clark. You know most of them as friends, some of them as just contacts. He said, but I can't mention the names.
Well, Clark, what you have here, and I've told you this before, is without question one of the most important books, period, of the space era, the Stargate Chronicles.
Oh, yeah.
And I will continue, as I have for a long time, to try to help in any way I can. And if there's anyone out there who would like to help Clark McClelland publish his book and bring it to the position of being available on a mass basis on the Internet, I'm doing my best. Just contact me or Clark if you want. You can give your email and they can contact you directly. And also, just to remind you, if you want a picture of Jim Irwin on the moon with a piece of that gold foil from the base of the lunar module, you can get that, $110, and it's a real deal.
It's a real deal. It's in a gold frame, a 4x6 size. It's a color photo of Jim saluting the U.S. flag, and the gold that they have is shown on it on the base of the lunar module.
Got it. Yeah.
Okay. It's a great piece of history.
Oh, I'm very honored to have one. I thank you again for that. Yeah.
Anyway, if they can find that on my website where it says a framed picture of Jim Irwin on the moon, if they just research it. Now, here's what he told me. Helium-3 is a non-radioactive isotope and is being considered as a possible future fuel source for space travel.
Uh-huh.
A small amount exists on Earth, but the moon is abundant with H3. He said an estimated one large payload bay full within a space shuttle. Of course, they don't exist anymore because of Obama.
Right.
A shuttle payload bay could energize the USA for an entire year.
Wow.
H3. Yet we all know the space shuttle cannot fly that distance to the moon, especially since they were retired or destroyed by Barack Obama. Thus, he destroyed the world-leading NASA space exploration program on Earth. Now, we had TR-3Bs. We may still have, and I do believe we have advanced models.
That's what I'm told. Yeah.
We have advanced models that have flown to the moon and to Mars already.
Mm-hmm.
So if you people out there think I'm a nut, I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, well, there's the... I'm looking at Clark's homepage. You can see the picture of the open payload bay of the shuttle and the very tall,
eight to nine foot
entity. Two looks humanoid. He's up to with two astronauts,
humanoid,
one on either side.
Yes.
And you can also see the interior shot. Apparently, this fellow went inside. I mean, there he is in there with two astronauts, one on either side of him.
No, Jeff.
That's just an overlay to show you the height.
Jeff, that was a separate mission of the one I saw in the payload bay.
Oh.
So I have two pieces of evidence from another aerospace engineer that he saw an 8 to 9 foot tall entity inside the crew compartment.
That's a real picture.
That's just an artist's concept.
Okay.
I have a great artist that does things for me.
All right, it's an overlay. I understand. All right.
And then he said that the shuttles were only built for maybe 6 foot people or less. So we have astronauts that were 6 foot or 6'1" or 2",
mm-hmm.
but not 8 to 9 feet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think they were the Nephilim.
Well, who knows?
The Bible Nephilim.
A lot of people out there in this universe.
That's right.
A lot of something, anyway. All right, onward. Now, we've got crystal structures. What did they look like? How did Jim, how did he make you feel in terms of what the function of these crystal structures may have been? Did he give you any tips, any ideas of his guesses?
Let me say what he told me. I wrote it down here. He said, I also briefly saw what appeared to me as structures in the far distance above and beyond the mountains of the Hadley Rill. I said to him, structures? You heard me right, Clark, Jim said. I asked, can you describe the structures? Jim thought for a second, looked at his watch and said, structures as if they were artificial. I said, like concrete, brick, metal, constructed features? Jim, he said, no. I said, can you describe them? He said, structures that appeared like glass or crystalline far above the lunar surface.
Like 10, 20 stories up, big, tall buildings.
Oh, yeah, big, heck, farther up than that.
Yeah, I've heard that, yeah.
I had a good view of whatever it was or is. He admitted he did swiftly take several photos of the mystery structures.
I bet he did.
Yeah. And those unknown crafts flying above the moon, too. When they returned to Earth, Jim made an attempt to review the Apollo 15 photos taken at that time. NASA and DOD refused him an allowance to view his own photos.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I was able to briefly view at least two of those photos, supposedly showing those strange crystal structures. And to my complete amazement, none of those structures was shown on the specific photo. It was as if all on the horizon was erased or replaced.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that happens a lot with NASA.
Yeah, so they have a staff that does that. We've known that for years, too.
And one of the ladies I know. Nothing was imprinted. It was as if a horizon that was not actually at Hadley was inserted or a filter was used to erase their existence. He said, it really surprised me, Clark. I was amazed to hear that from him.
I should say. You obviously took good notes. I can tell. You are a scientist, and you wrote this down. The idea of mining operations on the moon, there have been other photographs highly suggestive of that. People who have examined the released pictures and fully zoomed in on them find things that are obviously right angles. They're not natural looking. You've seen them. You've seen the pictures on Joseph Skipper's site about Mars, MarsAnomalyResearch.com. There's a very busy agenda out there, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, there's a lot more than that, Jeff. I have so much more in my 38 or so book chapters I have not even released for that will cause gray hair in Washington, D.C.
Have you already written these chapters? That's the question.
I've written 12 and almost 13, okay?
Okay, well, you better get going on the rest.
But listen, please.
Yeah.
Most of the other ones I've written, too, but I have to go over them and correct them, spelling and all, with my help here.
Understand.
And my fiance, my beloved fiance, and she's helping me with my very, very painful feet. My left foot has an open wound on it that's about 4 inches long by an inch and a half wide.
We want to talk privately about this more. I have another idea I want to run by you.
Okay. Yeah. I don't get any emails. They're blocking sending and my receiving emails, Jeff.
Well, you have my, I've got your phone number. I'll call you tomorrow. Anyway, we'll do that.
Call me tomorrow. I need to have your phone number in case I can ask you about certain
That's
things.
Fine. All right, because I've got another approach on this wound that we've got to get healed. Okay, we got 5-6 minutes left. What would you like to tell us? This book, again, The Stargate Chronicles, is stunning. Now, as you release other chapters to the book, will people who buy this edition now be able to get the update chapters and new chapters? Will you keep records and make them available to those folks? How are you going to do that?
Well, I sell them simply one by one because no one's buying many of them anymore. Jeff, I do honestly believe that my sale of these have been blocked because I sent out 600 to 700 emails for people that had read earlier chapters, and I did not get one positive reply. They're blocking them.
Well, that's ridiculous. Yeah.
Well, Z is blocking them.
Mm-hmm.
Z is my major enemy.
I understand. These people, if they are people, run the world and dominate everything, basically.
Oh, that's it. Now, here's something. Carl Sagan, in his book, Intelligent Life and the Universe. Now, here, Jim also said that the life forms he saw, he thought was not really, he said the UFOs he saw looked like cosmic life forms. He said he thought they were living in space.
Biological entities living in space.
Biological something or another, yes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They did see one that was about 30 to 40 feet long.
Huh.
Okay.
They must have been mind-blown up there. Were they prepped in advance, do you think, about what they might see?
Of course, they were told, you do not talk about this.
So,
you do not do this, that, or anything, because
that
you're
going to
lose
all
your retirement and health benefits.
So they were prepped, and that answers some of the questions about how some of the open mic traffic, when some of these things were photographed, oddities in space, were not commented upon.
No,
it's like the astronauts didn't see them. Nope, they were told not to talk about them.
They were shut off. Now, Carl Sagan said that Sumer was an early and perhaps the initial advanced human civilization in a contemporary sense on our planet. Sumer was founded in the 4th millennium BC, if not earlier. History has no knowledge where the Sumerians came from. Sagan said he felt that since the Sumerian civilization is depicted by their descendants as non-human in origin, did they arrive here as a colony from the stars?
Hmm. Wow.
So that's something about Carl Sagan.
I wonder if some of the astronauts who were obviously good friends, if they would get together and talk about the reality of what's out there. I wonder if any of them will talk before they leave this planet. Probably not, because the threats are so severe.
All right, I'm going to give you something, a straight shot. Neil Armstrong was my friend. He had a heart attack. He survived the first one. Then he had a second. They called him into a hospital in Cincinnati. And then they told his family he had passed away. Jeff, I honestly believe that they helped him die. Because Neil did see things on the moon he didn't speak of, but Buzz does. Neil don't, so Neil can't now. Did you ever hear of a hospital agency in every hospital now that is called a death panel? Did you hear about that at all?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so you know something. I won't go any further. That I went to the hospital. They wanted me to check in for a 2 to 3 day stay for IV. I said, never on this planet will I allow you to kill me. And I walked out of the hospital.
Well, it saved your life.
I saved my own life. Sadly, yeah. NASA astronaut James B. Irwin died in Glenwood Springs, Colorado, at a somewhat young age of 61. That's very young.
Very young.
Since I'm absolutely 77.
Well, these
from
people
a heart
were,
attack yeah. on August 8, 1991.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. Very suspicious. I don't mean to sound paranoid, but these things happen all the time. People
now,
are removed constantly.
NASA has told the world that all our landing sites there are all off limits.
Yep.
To China, Russia, mm-hmm. India, or anyone else.
Yeah, I know.
Off limits. You don't know why? H3.
Fascinating. Buzz is not going to talk either.
No, he won't, because he'll lose everything, maybe his life.
And his family.
Buzz is very open-minded. I know Buzz.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great man, great astronaut.
Mm-hmm.
He
mm-hmm.
was supposed to be the first man to step on the moon, but Neil took over the landing because Neil was a naval pilot. Buzz was not.
Uh-huh.
Naval pilots are trained to land on a small deck.
Mm-hmm.
So he flew it over large boulders and everything, and he finally put it down with one step for a man, for humanity.
Yeah.
NASA astronaut James B. Irwin died in Glenwood Springs, August 8, 1991. I really miss him badly.
Well, those are great people. These are just fantastic people. They don't make them like that anymore. All right, let's tell the people, we're just about out of time, Clark, how to get the book again. Just go to Stargate-Chronicles.com. Anything else you want to tell them?
Just that. Look for the moon picture with the gold on it. That's $100 plus $10 for mailing, and I'll send it out to them in a bubble wrap envelope. And
what an amazing Christmas gift that would be!
And I'd love to have. I need some help, Jeff.
I need
help badly. I am very, very deeply in poverty.
Right.
That's what the government did to me.
Well, they're able to do that and worse. Listen, it's on the left side of the page. You'll see the picture with the little piece of gold in it.
Yes, right.
And it's right there. So
I want to tell the people listening, without Jeff, we would not realize the truth we are missing on the major news channels. He tells it all. And I thank you, Jeff.
Well, thank you, Clark. I'm honored.
We'll have another show about Kecksburg in the future.
I'd love to. All right, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, God bless you. Take care.
All right, Clark. Good night. Okay, that's Clark McClelland, and just a remarkable story. Do visit his website, and that picture, I've got one. He sent me one. I'm very honored to have it, and it's extraordinary. Okay, we'll be right back.